Lord, as we are before thee, we do pray that thou wilt turn our eyes towards thyself, that we may have our gaze fixed upon thee. Thou who art the risen, the ascended one, thou who sit at the right hand of the Father, who is above all things and is waiting for his enemies to be his footstool. Lord, we do pray that we may see thee, that we may be delivered from ourselves, from earth, that we may be caught up into that heavenly realm, and there not only see thee, but reign with thee. Oh, we do pray that through thy church thou mayst be able to manifest thy all various wisdom in the present time to the principalities and authorities, that thou mayst be able to reveal thy unsearchable riches even to the unseen world through thy church. So we do come to thee and ask thee that by thy Spirit thou wilt reveal again thyself to us. We pray that we may forget ourselves by being absorbed into thyself. We ask thee that as thou dost reveal thyself to us through thy Spirit, that truly we may be absorbed, lost in thee. Oh, we do pray that we may see no one but Jesus only. We do desire that in this whole universe the Lord Jesus may be the only one seen, and seen by all. We do look to thee in the name of our Lord Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, we have been occupied just with one thing, and that is the unsearchable riches of Christ. Or let us put it in a better way. We are occupied with one person, and that is our Lord Jesus. We mentioned last night the unsearchable riches of the mystery of the cross. Paul, on the way to Damascus, was given a heavenly vision. And in that heavenly vision, he saw not only the risen Lord himself, but in that vision, he saw also the body. We mentioned last night that it was a vision of the one new man, with Christ himself as the glorious head, and with the church as his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. Dear brothers and sisters, if we try to know Christ in the flesh, we will see a very different Christ. We will have a very wrong concept of Christ. We have to see Christ in the Spirit. And if we see Christ in the Spirit, then we see Him as He is. In the same manner, if we try to see the church with our natural eyes, with our natural mind, in the flesh, it does not look very beautiful to us. Rather, it is very ugly. But if by the grace of God we are delivered from that fleshly look and are able to see the church in the Spirit, we shall find that it is the most beautiful thing that you can see in this universe. Last night, I feel that I had left off something which I would like to mention very briefly now, and then we'll go on. Because our emphasis is rather on the practical lifestyle. Now, brothers and sisters, when Paul was shown that heavenly vision, when he discovered that this one is Jesus, the risen one, He who is above all, the Lord in glory, what is the effect upon the life of Paul? If you really see something, that something is bound to have a lasting effect in your life. If you proclaim that you have seen something, and yet it does not affect your life, it does not change your life, as our brother says, revolutionize your life, then we wonder if you have really seen. Now, dear brothers and sisters, this man saw, who was called Paul afterwards, he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord of glory. And immediately, the effect was felt in him. You remember, the first question he asked was, "Who art thou, Lord?" "I do not know you. Who are you?" And after he was told who that one was, you remember the second question was, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" In other words, you'll find there is a drastic change that came into this life. Dear brothers and sisters, maybe you will feel, well, it's a change. But to Paul, it was a tremendous change. What kind of person was Paul? Paul was Paul. He was a person who was used to give orders. He was not accustomed to listen and to receive orders. He was a born leader. He must be at the top. He must lead. He was that kind of person. And for that kind of person to turn around and ask, "What do you want me to do? I am at thy order. I am at thy disposal. I'm waiting before thee. Dear brothers and sisters, it is a tremendous change. In seeing the Lord of glory, the effect upon his life is he cannot be head anymore. He lost his head. Brothers and sisters, immediately you'll find that from that day onward, the Lord of glory becomes his head. The headship of the Lord is a reality in the life of God. He is no longer one who gives command. Instead, he is always one who is on the receiving side. Dear brothers and sisters, if the Lord should give us a vision of himself, if the Lord should reveal himself to us as the glorious head, he is head over all things, then, brothers and sisters, can you be head anymore? You are beheaded. This is the practical effect of seeing the head. Brothers and sisters, our God is a jealous God. He never commits two heads or more than one head. He has established his Son as the head over all things. No matter how big your head is, there is no chance. Dear brothers and sisters, that will revolutionize your whole life. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Very good. What do you want me to do? I'm here. At thy disposal. You just say a word, and there I go. I'm willing to turn around and go back to Jerusalem if you want me to. Just give order and I'll obey. And do you know Paul got another surprise? Did the Lord tell him what to do? Yes or no? Not much yes, but more no. He was expecting the Lord to tell him what he should do. Now he had come to a point to see that the Lord is greater than he. Now he had come to a place where he yielded his head and made the Lord his head. And he was all ready to obey the Lord. Somehow, the Lord did not tell him what to do. The Lord said, arise. Go to Damascus, into that city. And what I want you to do, I will tell you. Dear brothers and sisters, do you have such experience? You know the Lord, but you are your own head. You always do things in your own way. You always go your own way. But one day you get such a revelation of the Lord, that you willingly yield yourself to the Lord and say, "Now, Lord, from now on, you are my head. Give orders." You will expect that the Lord will be so pleased by your yieldingness. And He is in such a hurry in case that you will retract. The Lord will immediately tell you, "Now, son, do this, do that," and even tell you your whole life story. From the beginning to the end. What if the Lord does not tell you? And instead of that, the Lord said, "You just wait." What should be told to you will be told to you. You just wait. Does that disappoint you? He is not too much of a Lord. He does not know how to be ahead. He may lose his opportunity. A real head is not in a hurry. And brothers and sisters, the strangest thing is here. Even after he got to the city of Damascus and waited there praying and fasting for 3 days and 3 nights, all he got was a little unknown man came to him. The great Paul, well known in the circle of Judaism, capitulated himself to the Lord of glory. Now that is the right thing to do, because after all, he is the Lord of glory. But here you find the Lord sent a little man, Ananias, known in that city, but certainly unknown in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the capital, the center. And the Lord sent this man to Paul to tell Paul what the Lord has chosen him to do. Dear brothers and sisters, it is very hard to swallow this. For Paul to let Christ to be his head is comparatively easy. But instead of directly giving command to him, the Lord sent a small member to tell this large member what he ought to do. Isn't that humiliating? A great apostle to receive instruction from the Lord through the hands of a little member? Dear brothers and sisters, why? There's the practical application of the vision of the body. Dear brothers and sisters, if you say the Lord has shown you the church, the body of Christ, what does it mean? What is the effect upon your life? Many brothers and sisters, good brothers and sisters, maintain a very strong position, saying that I obey no one but the Lord. There is no one above me but the head, the Lord himself. If the Lord should tell me this, I obey, even jumping into the ocean. But that's all. I receive direct order from the Lord. I am dependent only upon the Lord and no one else. I am responsible directly to the Lord, and the Lord is responsible directly to me. Well, you may see something of the head, not too much. But brothers and sisters, do you see the body? The fullness of Him who fills all and in all? To see the head results in losing your head. To see the body results in losing your individualism. Dear brothers and sisters, are you related to the other members of the body of Christ? Are you the body to the head? Or are you just one member of the body? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, it is said that there are many members, but one body. Though the members are many, yet one body, so also is the Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, do not forget that Christ, the person, is your head. But you are only a member of that big body. You are not the body. You are only a member. You are related to the other members of the body of Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, are you related? That is the effect of seeing the church. That is the test of seeing the church. The reason why the Lord did not tell Paul directly and immediately his will. And yet told him to another member. Is because of this. If the Lord should tell him on that very spot where he fell, if the Lord should tell him all that the Lord wanted him to do, do you know what will be the result? He will be an independent, self-sufficient, unrelated person. He will make himself the body. He will never be able to be entrusted with the mystery of the Christ. From the very beginning of his life, he had to learn this lesson. Relatedness. Relatedness unto fullness. He was not able to know the will of God until Ananias laid his hands upon him and told him. Dear brothers and sisters, relatedness is unfruitfulness. Do we know that? If we really want to enter into the unsearchable riches of the Christ, brothers and sisters, you cannot be independent. Many said, I cannot live without the Lord. praise God for it. If you have come to a point where you cannot live without the Lord, that's a very good position. But dear brothers and sisters, have you ever cried out, I cannot live without the church. I cannot live without other members of the body of Christ. I need them. And they need me too. Oh, brothers and sisters, there you will experience the unsearchable. I just feel that I have to mention this in a brief way, otherwise it doesn't seem to be too practical. Now let's come to what, by the grace of God, we would like to fellowship tonight. Will you please turn to the letter to the Ephesians? Chapter 3, letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. I am become minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me, according to the working of his power. To me, less than the least of all saints, has this grace been given to announce among the nations the glad tidings of the unsearchable riches of the Christ. Chapter 4. We'll read from verse 7 through verse 16. But to each of us has been given grace according to the measure of the gift of the Christ. Wherefore he says, having ascended up on high, he has led captivity captive, and has given gifts to men. But that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same who has also ascended up above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he has given some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, with a view to the work of the ministry, with a view to the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all arrive at the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, as a full-grown man, as a measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ, in order that we may be no longer babes, tossed and carried about by every wind of that teaching which is in the flesh of man, in unprincipled cunning with a view to systematize error, but holding the truth in love, we may grow up to him in all things, who is the head, the Christ, from whom the whole body fitted together and connected by every joint of supply, according to the working in its measure of each one part, works for itself the increase of the body to itself building up in love. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read from verse 2 through verse 6. Ye are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, being manifested to be Christ's epistle, ministered by us, written not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God, not on stone tables, but on fleshy tables of the heart. And such confidence have we through the Christ towards God. Not that we are confident of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our competency is of God. who has also made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit quickens. Dear brothers and sisters, our brother mentioned this afternoon that we should not remain in that low level of asking everything for ourselves. In other words, we should not be self-centered. We should not be selfish, even in spiritual things, in seeking spiritual blessings. We should, from the very beginning of our life with the Lord, dedicate ourselves to Him, to serve Him, to minister unto Him, to serve the purpose of God in our generation. This was true of Paul, and this must be true of every one of us. Of course, we are familiar with that motto, saved to serve. We are saved to serve God. Is it not that God, through Moses, announced to Pharaoh, "Let my people go, that they may serve me"? Why are we saved? Why are we set free? That we may serve God. In Romans chapter 6, it is said, having being free from the bondage of sin, we have become bondmen to God, bearing fruit unto holiness. We are saved to serve. And many take this to heart and go out to serve. Now, dear brothers and sisters, the question is, how do we serve? By what do we minister? Now, of course, you have to forgive me, because when I use that word ministry, I do not mean what is commonly known today, that limited, restricted sense of ministry, the ministry. That is to say, you enter into the ministry, you enter into a kind of special thing. Now, I do not mean that, because the word is not used in that way in the Word of God. Rather, we are using that word ministry in its broadest sense. It includes every one of us. We are saved to serve, to minister unto the Lord. But how? Is there any relationship between our ministry and the unsearchable riches of God? Can we minister without the unsearchable riches of Christ? If we can, what are we ministering? dear brothers and sisters, ministry, spiritual ministry, is nothing but the expression of that unsearchable riches of Christ. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, it is said, wherefore, he says, having ascended up on high, he has led captivity captive and has given gifts to men. Now this speaks of the ascension of our Lord Jesus. What is the meaning of the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus? It has been mentioned again and again that through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, a people is gathered, a body is formed, a church is born. But after our Lord Jesus has risen from the dead, he remained here for 40 days. But after 40 days, the evangelist records that this same one, the one who was crucified, buried, risen from the dead, this very one ascended up on high and is now seated at the right hand of God. Dear brothers and sisters, what has happened in his ascension? What is the meaning of his ascension to us? Here you'll find the Apostle Paul quotes from Psalm. He quotes from Psalm 68, verse 18. In that verse it is said, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts in men, and even the rebellious for the dwelling thereof, Lord God. Dear brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus ascended on high as the victor of Calvary. Our Lord Jesus ascended to heaven as the all-victorious, triumphant one. And while he ascended, he led his captive in his train. He has led captivity captive. Who are these? You know, according to the Roman time, when a general or a consul had conquered a country and got many captives, then when he came back from that battle, there will be a parade, a triumphant parade. And there in his train will be those captives. Those who are captured, and they will be sold as slaves. Oh, they will be used as plays in the Colosseum. He led his captive in his train. Dear brothers and sisters, when our Lord Jesus ascends to heaven, he has led captivity captive. Who are these captives of his? Thank God, you and me. We are captured by the Lord. We are freed from our former captivity. He has conquered the strong man and has set us free, but he has captured us. In his great love towards us, in his great mercy and grace towards us, he has captured us. He has made us his captive. In the Roman days, when the general got captives, how would he treat them? Either he will put them to death, or he will sell them for some profit. He will use them as his slaves and ill-treated them because they were his captives. But dear brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus led his captivity captive. How does he treat us? He has turned the rebellious into the most willing slaves. He has turned these rebels, enemies, who fight against him, fought against him, into those servants, ministers, who minister unto him. The unsearchable riches of Christ. The psalmist tells us, he has led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts in men, even the rebels. These men become gifts to him. They are the gifts that the Father has given to him. Brothers and sisters, we are gifts to Christ, given to the Son by the Father. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that mercy? More than that, when Paul quotes that verse, he doesn't seem to make the right quotation. He becomes a little bit forgetful. Because if you read Ephesians chapter 4, you'll find that it is different. It is different from Psalm 68:18. He has led captivity captive and has given gifts to men. He received gifts in men. That's in Psalm. But in Ephesians, he has given gifts to men. Brothers and sisters, what does it mean? It means that he receives us as gifts of the Father to him. And if it is a gift given to him by the Father, he'll treasure it. But as soon as he receives these gifts, he gives gifts. He gives us gifts. For what purpose? That we may minister unto Him. He equips us. He enables us to minister unto Him. Yes. In Ephesians chapter 4 it says, He that descended is the same who has also ascended up above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. And He has given some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some shepherds, and teachers. Well, you say, yes, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers. Some. Only some. How about the rest? Does He only give gifts to the apostles, to the prophets, to the teachers, to the evangelists? Are those apostles, teachers, prophets, evangelists gifts to the church? And the rest have no place, no share? Dear brothers and sisters, it seems to be the common concept of the Christian world. Even though sometimes we say we are saved to serve, yet those who are supposed to serve are just the Son. There is a special class. They serve. They are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. Is it not God gave them to the church to serve the church? Yes, sure. They are to serve. How about the rest? The rest are to be served. Is not that just the picture of Christianity today? Oh, how we have come short of the glory of God in this thing. Yes, God has called some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers with a view of ministry. What is their ministry? What is their service? They are not to monopolize the ministry. They are to stimulate, to help, to open the way, to strengthen every member of the body, that each member may become a living, functioning member of the body. Every member has a ministry. And in ministering one to another, the body grows unto the full stature of Christ. One servant of the Lord said, the spiritual ministry of all the saints may seem to be a strange thing to us today, but it is the very life of the apostolic church. Dear brothers and sisters, through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, the church of God is born. But he does not leave his church alone. Born, but not cared for. No parents will do that. The church is born through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. After she is born, the blessed Lord provides for her growth. How is the church to be matured? How is the body to be full grown? How can that manhood be reached? How can we arrive at the full measure of the stature of Christ? How? Through the special ministry of a few? They may labor themselves to death, but it will not come. They have their part in helping all the members of the body to realize that you are a member of the living body of Christ. And as a member, you are given a gift. No one can say, I'm the foot and not the head. Therefore, I do not belong to the body. Count me out. If I'm here, nobody will notice me. If I am absent, nobody will ask for me. I'm just a little one. I do not count. What can I offer? What ministry can I offer? Dear brothers and sisters, such humility is not of God. Do not say that you are the eye, high above all. Therefore, you do not need the ear. Dear brothers and sisters, we need one another. Every member is fit together in the body by God, by His sovereignty. And every member is given a gift for ministry. What is the ministry? It is the ministry of the building up of the body. That is ministry. Let us return to Paul. Did Paul serve God before he was converted? He did. While he was persecuting the churches, he thought he was serving God. He was the fulfillment of that prophecy of our Lord Jesus. The Lord told his disciples, the day will come when people will kill you and think they are serving God. And that's
Paul.
He thought he was doing God a great service. But actually, a disservice to God. While he was serving God in that way, he was serving God with his own wisdom, with his own strength. There was no need for him to be related to Christ. No need for him to know the unsearchable riches of Christ. He could well do that without Christ. But dear brothers and sisters, his true ministry began after he was met by the Lord. The mercy, the grace of the Lord transforms him, makes him a vessel of honor, a minister to the ministry. His ministry is closely knit with the unsearchable. His ministry is a spiritual ministry. He himself tells us that he is not made a minister of the old covenant, but he is made a minister of the new covenant. Now, dear brothers and sisters, who are these ministers of the old covenant? What is the Old Covenant? The Old Covenant is the law. Who are these ministers of the law? The Levites. If you're born in that tribe, if you are trained to read, then after a certain training, and after a period of apprenticeship, you naturally enter into the ministry of the Old Covenant. You begin to function in the temple. Everything is mapped out for you. There is a program fully prepared. You just fit into that schedule. That's all you need to do. Your own life with the Lord doesn't matter. So long as you can read. So long as you can remember that you do not do a wrong action at a wrong time. But after you receive a training, the law is engraved on stones. The letters, the 10 letters. If you can read them, you can memorize them. If you are trained under some senior priest as how to interpret these laws, and you are told and you practice how to offer this and offer that and all these many acts. Brothers and sisters, you are a priest. You are a minister of the Old Covenant. A minister of condemnation. A minister of death. For the letter kills. Dear brothers and sisters, even though we are not under the Old Covenant, but how many today of ministering death and condemnation. How are we qualified to minister? By natural birth. Because my father is a minister. Therefore, I have the best environment. Naturally, gradually, I am being channeled into the ministry. It so happened my father was a preacher. How do we minister today? Oh, if you want to minister, you have to go to certain training. If you want to minister, all right, here's a program. If you follow closely the tradition, you are all right. Just add into that some of your dynamic personality. Dear brothers and sisters, but we are called not to be ministers of the old covenant. We are called to be ministers of the new covenant. What is that? The new covenant is grace. We are called to be ministers of righteousness, ministers of life. How are you going to do that? When Paul was called, God said, you are to go to those people, to the nations, to open their eyes, to deliver them out of darkness into light, that their sins may be remitted and they may inherit with all the saints in the light. Brothers and sisters, how can you do that? How can you open people's eyes? How can you impart life to others? Paul said, who is competent for that? I am not competent. My competency is of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, what is true ministry? True ministry is the ministry of life. It is ministering Christ. This is not something that is appointed by man. That can be appointed by man. This is not something that is taught by man. It has to come by revelation. In the measure of the Son revealed in your spirit is the measure of your ministry to the church. Brothers and sisters, it is the unsearchable riches of Christ that is first known to us. And as our brother said, being wrought into us, become a part of us. Become our very life. And by the power of the Spirit, this life is communicated, poured out into the body. Brothers and sisters, that is building up the body. That is the only ministry. That the Lord wants. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, look at Paul. Because of his understanding of the unsearchable riches of Christ, what a ministry he had. And because of that unsearchable riches of Christ, of that ministry entrusted to him, with fear and trembling, he ministered unto the Lord. Maybe you will say, well, I'm not Paul. I'm not an apostle. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a shepherd and teacher. Certainly, God does not require that of me. Dear brothers and sisters, even though some may have greater ministry, others may have smaller part, but the nature is the same. We are all called to minister unto Christ. By ministering Christ to the church. Each one of us is given a special gift. No one can take your place. If you are not functioning, the body lacks in that particular ministration. Brothers and sisters, it's a great responsibility, a great privilege, but a great responsibility. Now you may say, well, I want unto the body, but I do not know what my gift is. Very often young brothers and sisters will come and say, well, brother, tell me what is my gift. Will you tell me what is my place in the body? Whether I am a hand, or I am a foot, or I am an ear, or I am a mouth, or I am an eye. What am I? I do not know what am I. I do not know what my gift is. How can I minister? How can I function? I don't know. Oh, brothers and sisters, it seems as if this question is very reasonable. And many are asking that question. I dare not tell you what member of the body of Christ you are. I will not tell you what gift you have. I cannot. God puts you in the body according to his will. The Spirit of God gives you gifts according to his will. I do not know. But one thing I know if you are rightly related to God, if you're rightly related to your brothers and sisters, if you grow in spiritual life, if the measure of Christ is growing in you, out of that growth brings in. That's spiritual ministry. You do not need to be conscious of it. If my hand is always asking the question, now, what am I? What is my ministry to the body? Now, what should I do? Now, if my hand is doing that, it is paralyzed. You all know the story of the centipede with 100 feet. Do I pronounce it right? With 100 feet, you all know that story. Do you? Oh, a centipede with 100 feet. And of course, he walks very fast. But one day, he stopped and thinks, now, which of my feet starts first? And you know, as he is thinking of that and trying to figure out which foot step moves first, he is transfixed to the ground. He never moves. Until finally he gives up and says, well, that's hopeless, and off he goes. Brothers and sisters, if we try to figure out now what member am I of the body? Now what is my gift? You are paralyzed. Forget yourself. Fix your eyes upon the risen and ascended Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you are joined to the ascended Lord, without knowing it, you are ministering Christ in your particular capacity to the body. Nothing official. Nothing formal, but it is Christ being ministered into the body. And dear brothers and sisters, the result is the body grows, is built up in love. And when the body is built up, you too are built. Dear brothers and sisters, you find that it is Christ ministry is ministering Christ, and that is the only ministry that builds up the body. So may the Lord be gracious to us, that we may be delivered from that old notion of ministry, the ministry belongs to Son. But let us see that the spiritual ministry of all the members of the body is needed for the completion of that. May we be faithful in this. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray Thee that Thou hast ascended up on high and hast led captivity captive. O Thou hast turned us, the rebellious, into the obedient. Thou hast turned us, thine enemies, into thy bond slaves. Thou hast not required us to equip ourselves to serve thee, but as a good master, thou hast equipped us with thy gift. We pray that we may be faithful, that we may grow in our spiritual life, that we may know more of thy riches, in order that we may serve thee better, and the better servants of thine. Oh, have mercy upon all of us, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus.